own your story, and that includes your, you know, that includes your DNA makeup. It's this complete picture of body, spirit, and soul that we're made of. And so a lot of us just center on one area, and two thirds of us are dying, right? Because we don't nurture the other sides. And so important to really pay attention so that you are able to leave that legacy that you want for the people that you love, and you know, for the generations that come after you. So that's really important. Whatever that takes, if you have an intuition about something, go for it. Go for it. Even if it sounds crazy, and if you sound crazy, you are the expert, and you should be the expert of your body.
Midlife is the best season of our lives. But often many of us lack fulfillment in some area of our midlife. It doesn't have to be that way. This podcast is a resource for midlifers to discover ways to find fulfillment in whatever area of life you need it. I'm your host, Bernie Borges. Join me on the Midlife Fulfilled podcast, a journey to make midlife the most fulfilling season of your life. Welcome to episode 53, my midlife friend. This is Bernie Borges, your host of the Midlife Fulfilled podcast. Hey, if you're new to the pod, welcome. This week's guest is Miri Rodriguez, and this is a BF to AF episode. Once again, that's before fulfillment to after fulfillment. Let me tell you a little bit about Miri. Miri Rodriguez works at Microsoft. She's been there more than 10 years. In her current role, she is senior storyteller for state and local government. She got to this role by becoming a globally recognized storyteller. She's also the best-selling author of Brand Storytelling and the owner of Be Mindful, Be Happy. Miri is also a wife and a mom and a cancer survivor. On this episode, Miri shares her story, her journey, her battle with cancer. As you'll hear, she's an open book. And as you hear Miri's story, you're going to hear her passion for how this journey has impacted her journey to fulfillment. On the other side of this conversation, I'll respond to Miri's closing thought and how it connects the dots for the meaning of fulfillment. Now, before I bring in Miri Rodriguez, I want to remind you that when you attend the Creator Economy Expo, did you catch that? I didn't say if you attend. I said when you attend the Creator Economy Expo, May 1st through the 3rd in Cleveland, Ohio, you will learn from over 40 creators whose business is based on content creation. You're going to network with people who are struggling with the same issues that you are. And you can hang out with me because I'm going to be there and I'd love to meet you. Whether you create a podcast or a video or a newsletter or a blog, whatever your content is, or if you're looking to become a content creator, you'll definitely want to attend the Creator Economy Expo. Slide down to the show notes for this episode, find my affiliate link, tap or click on it to learn more about CEX, and then save $100 when you register using the code Midlife Fulfilled. I hope to see you there. And now, here's my conversation with Miri Rodriguez. I'll see you on the other side of my conversation with Miri with a Connect the Dots epiphany. Miri, welcome to the Midlife Fulfilled podcast.
Hi, Bernie. It's so good to see you. I've missed you. It's been a long time.
I know. I've missed you. We used to hang. We used to hang out together.
We did.
A few years ago.
A few months ago.
Yep. And we've been working on making this happen, getting this podcast recording on the calendar. So here we are.
Yeah.
I'm excited to talk to you, especially since it's been so long since we talked. And we made a point of really in the green room before we press record of really not getting into a conversation so we can do it right here and right now. But before we do that, Miri, you know that I want to start with the age bracket question. Which of the age brackets are you in?
You know, I actually hate that there is an age bracket. I'm like, why? I hate to have to scroll when you go on the internet and be like, how old are you? And you're like, oh, I'm in this bracket. I'm 44. So I'm still in the 35 to 44 age bracket. But next year, I'll be ascending to the next level.
All right. Well, we'll have a repeat. We'll have a cameo appearance next year. So you can be in the other category.
Sounds good. I'm sure there's a whole other, you know, enlightenment that happens at that next level.
Yeah. Well, Mary, where would you like to begin your BF to AF story?
Yeah, you know, I actually want to go backwards. I know we go before fulfillment and after, but for me, going backwards is important because of my own journey medically that I just went through, that I have been through in the last year and a half. And when you go through something like that, when you go through a life changing event, your affirmation of fulfillment and your definition of fulfillment changes. It really does. You know, the things that mattered don't matter. And the things that didn't matter, matter. So you really come that much closer to the defining your own success in life and your own fulfillment, what that looks like. I was already on that path, I should say. I've always been kind of awakened to the idea that I don't want society, culture, people to define what success looks like to me, what fulfillment feels like for me. So I was always on that quest, but this reaffirmed it so much for me. And so I want to start there, if you don't mind.
Let's do it. Yeah.
All right, let's go. Yeah. You know, for me, I was diagnosed with the BRCA mutation gene, and that was shocking. BRCA is, for those of you who don't know, listening, it's a gene mutation that is inherited. It doesn't skip generations. So you inherit it from one of your parents. And it basically exposes you and rapidly can turn into a form of cancer for your reproductive systems. And so for me, it meant BRCA. So it's spelled, BRCA spelled BRCA, BR stands for breast and CA for cancer. Even though it's not just breast cancer, it also can mean uterus cancer. It can mean ovarian cancer for men. It could be prostate cancer. And so for me, it was a shock to find out that I had this, that I carried this mutation, because my entire life, I had been very keen to not, you know, doing all the things that you do to not get cancer. And so, you know, I ate well and I took care of myself and I was always at the gym. So this is the one thing I'm like, holy crap, you know, the one thing that I can't control, which is my genes, there it is. And so fulfillment changed in the sense that there's so many things that I can't control. And then fulfillment moves away from me from that diagnosis, really led so much understanding that the one thing that I can control and it includes my fulfillment in life and feeling fulfilled is who I am and who I'm going to be. Everything else I can't. And so it had to switch for me. I was on this path. I think a lot of people are, and we hear these stories all the time, and it may even sound cliche, but I was on this path of like, I can control my future. I can define my future. I can place my future. Mm-hmm. I can do this. And I'm like, okay, no, absolutely not. I'm not going to bore you with details, but this process after that diagnosis and all the things that happened after were confirmation after confirmation of really releasing the thought of what fulfillment looked like and going back to the essence of who I was as a person. And that was actually getting back to the essence of that little girl, of that little Miri that was untouched, the young Miri that was, you know, not fearful, not apprehensive, not anxious, not judgmental, all the things that we create and that we allow life and society and people and traumas and pain to fill us with. And then we build a pseudo fulfillment idea based on those traumas. And so it was getting back to that. So I think it's a backward story of fulfillment means me really truly healing, and healing means getting back to the essence of who I am.
Wow. Okay. You said so much there. So
yeah.
my first question for you on this, Mary, is I remember, not that I remember the day, the week, or the month.
Yeah.
It was probably well over a year ago when you posted on social media. It might have been on Instagram where I saw it, because I know you're active on both Instagram and LinkedIn, where we're both connected.
Yeah.
And you posted the diagnosis, if you will, of the BRCA gene.
That's right.
And you posted what was ahead of you, And then you told us, and by us, I mean your friends, your followers, community. Your community.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You told us that you were going to face it head on, you were going to be brave, and that you were also going to check out for a while where you just focused on your health.
Yeah.
So did you think a lot about that, or did you just do that like instinctively, or did you actually have to think through, you know, how much of this am I going to disclose?
Yeah, no, I thought about it. I thought about it for a long time. In fact, by the time you saw that post, it's probably in July, sometime in the summer, I had been dealing with this internally and personally, privately for since February. That was the actual date of my diagnosis. So it was February in 2021, and I didn't really speak to it and actually didn't even tell anyone at my work or anyone outside of my immediate circle, including family. Until that summer. And the reason for that for me was I did not know what was going to happen. I did not know what my plan was. I did not know how to feel. My fulfillment ideas were shattered in that instant. I did not know what would happen next. And so there was an urgency specifically. So in my case, the BRCA gene, when you are diagnosed, you're given a levels of percentages of what your possibilities are. Every individual is different based on your family history, your overall health, and just in general, where you are currently in your age. For me, I had two very significant numbers. I had an 87% chance of developing ovarian cancer, which I probably already had based on a few years that of incessant bleeding that I had been having for a while. And then I didn't have the breast cancer piece of that. It was ovarian that ran through my family. So the first order of business was to do a full-on hysterectomy. You cannot detect early cancer for ovaries. There's just no test that will determine that. So there was no way to hold off on that. What was really interesting is that through the rest of the process, they did find what they call cancer zero in both my breasts. And so that was additional to what ran in my family. So I was just pretty much primed for all of it happening. And so I didn't know what was going to happen. And I was very methodical as to, even though I don't know the next steps, that break that I asked for was a solitude break that I took from everyone. Bernie, I took a break from everyone, including my family. I went on a retreat by myself. I read many books. I prepared with my lawyers. I was just like, okay, let's go. I'm going to fight. And I don't know what the fight looks like, but I'm going to fight. And then whatever comes out of that, here's where fulfillment, that whole thing comes together. I've done my best. That's all I ask. And if I don't make it through the fight, that's okay. I know I did my best, and my kids can say she did her best. My husband can say, so all the things. And so that was important for me. And I did not need or want, or, you know, I couldn't have distractions, and people and everyone was a distraction at that moment. So I did retreat for a while.
And how did you decide when to kind of reengage, reconnect? Because along the way, in addition to all of this emotional strain that you were going through, Miri, you were also going through physical strain, right? You had, how many surgeries did you have?
Five.
You had five surgeries. So,
yeah.
And, you know, along the way, I saw some of the posts, maybe many or all the posts that you posted when you chose to post them.
Yeah.
And you were very transparent.
I was.
So how did you decide to kind of come in and out of, or come back out of your your isolation, if you will, and then come back to re-engage with those of us who love you?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You know, it was interesting because the amount of love that I got from people was overwhelming. I did not expect it. Honestly, I did not expect it. A lot of people will go to social media, you know, you don't know who truly is listening or engaging. It's just a massive world. It's almost an invisible world to undertake. And so you don't know. You don't know who you're talking to. There are people that are in your community, in your network, and I keep that close. You are one of them. You know that. And people that know me and I know them. But beyond that, it's out there. So when I decided to come back through some of the process. I didn't share all the processes. I wasn't one, that person that was just going through like every, you know, here I am at the hospital, here I am on operation day. I wasn't doing any of that. It was for me, the reason for that was, number one, the love I received, I wanted to let people know that since I felt so loved, I knew people cared. So I was like, hey, I know everybody's checking up on me. So I'm going to go and let them know, whew, made it through this one milestone. Don't know if I'm at the next one, but I'm here, still here. So that was the message. It was like, I'm still here. I haven't left yet. And so it was this own affirmation to myself and to others that I was still here and I'm still fighting and I'm still here, because people worried and I just didn't have the strength to really go one by one and give everybody an update of everything. In fact, my sister was the one that I, you know, entrusted with everything, medically and in terms of like, you know, updating people. And she was overwhelmed. So for me, it was the outpouring of love, reciprocating that as much as I could when I had the strength to. And I really had to protect that as well, because I knew once I updated one thing, then more questions and more like, where are you? What are you doing? What's happening next would come. So I had to shut it down again and be like, okay, I'm going back in my cocoon and, you know, doing this again. And then next time after the next surgery, it was a lot of process of healing and then going back and healing and going back to the operating room. And it was daunting for sure.
And how did you decide what you were going to prioritize? You said earlier in this conversation, mm-hmm. Mary, that you learned what matters, what doesn't matter. So where along that journey did you reprioritize, decide the things that mattered to you?
That's a great question, Bernie, because I've been thinking about that so much and I've been journaling. I wrote, I went into a writing retreat and a lot of that came out. The prioritization in my life really comes from reframing my actions. I found that in my life, I had operated for a long time from two very dark spaces, and they were fear and shame. And it could be for different reasons. I could be shameful because of past actions. I could be shameful because I didn't forgive myself for a specific moment in my life when I was younger. I could be shameful because society shamed me, or my culture shamed me, or my family shamed me, and not wanting to. These are all just things that are part of that toxicity that we carry when we don't heal ourselves. And so, and the other one was, you know, was guilt and shame. So guilt was also part of that. I love God. I'm deeply in love with God, and that relationship with God was twisted where, you know, my belief in this higher power, this divine power that loves me so much, I could not understand that he really did love me or that I could love myself that way. And so that guilt was always behind me of like, I gotta do more. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. And no, I didn't have to do anything. And so that realization changed my perspective, and it changed the way I prioritize everything. In fact, it was something as simple as questioning why I would do anything. You know, do I go because I've just always done it and that's just the way I've done things? Or do I go because I really, really want to go? I want to be there. I want to experience this moment in time. Life is fleeting. Time is fleeting. This moment won't come again. Why am I here? Why am I engaging with these people? Is it just out of guilt or shame? Or is it truly out of freedom and love? And that was, to me, it just reframed everything for me.
Hmm. Well, Mary, when you and I first met, it was in professional circles, right? Yes. We met through our respective work and we became friends. And I've always admired you, your energy, your emotion, your love of people, and also your commitment to your work and your enthusiasm for work. So how are you balancing all that? I know you're a family person. You mentioned your kids and your husband. And so you've got all that, person of faith. I share that with you. Yeah. So how are you balancing all of that, including your career? Because I know you've always been career driven.
I have been. So, you know, that's actually part of that word about before and after fulfillment, because I thought that fulfillment would come when I would reach certain milestones in my life. And as a woman, it's very multifaceted, because we have to make decisions. You know, it takes 9 months to cook up a baby, right? So it's there. It's like you have to physically, you're giving up some space there to bring up a human. And so that's daunting, and that's also sacrificial in its essence. And like that, there are many things I believe for women that We have to decide what is the right timing. Is this, you know, how is this going to impact my career if I want to build one? So it's a lot to really contend with. And for me, you know, career was very important, as especially as a Latina immigrant. I have to bring that in because it was back to guilt and shame. It was like, I would be guilty if I did not do this for my family, for my legacy, for my culture as a representation of Latina. So I'm going. Stopping that and go, do I enjoy this? Do I really want to be here? Do I love this? And what's beautiful is that I do. And so I was able, and I should say, you know, the work that I do today at Microsoft continues to grow, continues to expand and grow me as an individual and as a professional. And Microsoft has been an incredible partner through my journey. And I appreciate it. And they didn't have to, and they did. And that was just another confirmation of who's your tribe and who's riding with you when these things happen in life. And so that's when we see that fulfillment come, when you're giving to something that is reciprocal, and you know there's this direct, you know, symbiotic relationship that you're in, and that's healthy, right? And so, you know, I'm thankful that I wasn't in a position where I had to go back to work, or that, you know, I felt, again, the guilt for it or the shame if I didn't. I was just happy to go back to work, and I was welcomed, and I was, you know, excited, and I'm even more excited now. I have new opportunities and new challenges. And so it's not a balance, I don't think, ever. If it's done right, it's an embracing of the impermanence of life, and you fit it in with the rest of your rhythm of life, the dance of life, right? So you dance a little bit here, you dance to the tune there, and you're a mom, you're a sister, and you're a worker, and you're a friend, and it all fits if you're in harmony with it all. If you're not, it's going to fall apart quickly, or you're going to imbalance it and go too far here, too far there. But if you really are in the correct place and you're balancing yourself, it just all comes part of it, and it's a beautiful dance.
Mary, what have you said to others? I don't know if you've had this opportunity to have this conversation with someone else, but if you have, what have you said to someone who is in similar shoes as you, meaning they're facing whether it's cancer or some other serious health issue? And now that you're, I don't know, far along in the journey is the right way to say it, but it's not like this happened last week. This happened, you know, about a couple of years ago, give or take, right? So what are you saying to others if you encounter them that are walking in similar shoes?
Yeah. So the journey did begin actually last year, and it's been through this year. My last surgery, which is reconstruction, it was, I actually had a double mastectomy in August and a reconstruction. And so not too far along, but I does feel like I'm on the other side. I'm grateful for that. I have had opportunity to share with some people that have asked. And I'm also grateful for this platform, Bernie, for those who are listening to this. This opportunity just helps me help you understand the importance of your DNA makeup and who we are. A lot of times we forget where we come from, or we don't dig deeper into that ancestry and that DNA makeup. And that is part of your fulfillment in life. And the reason that is part of your fulfillment, see, that happened. The reason that is part of your fulfillment is because for you to know where you're going, you got to understand where you come from. And that is a very multifaceted approach to who you are. It's not just the country you were born in, or, you know, your immediate relatives. There's an ancestry and there's a story that you got to put together and you got to own in your life. So what I will say to people is understand that. You know, when I was asked up until last year, what is your history of cancer? I'd be like, none. There's no history. And there wasn't. I'm the first one in my family to be diagnosed with this mutation. Clearly, I'm not the only one in my family who has it. And so I just didn't understand what that meant. And so own your story. And that includes your DNA makeup. It's this complete picture of body, spirit, and soul that we're made of. And so a lot of us just center on one area, and two-thirds of us are dying, right? Because we don't nurture the other sides. And so important to really pay attention so that you are able to leave that legacy that you want for the people that you love, and you know, for the generations that come after you. So that's really important. Whatever that takes, if you have an intuition about something, go for it. Go for it. Even if it sounds crazy, and if you sound crazy, you are the expert, or you should be the expert of your body. And so, you know, the doctors were the experts in their field for me, and they were great. I had a great team, but I was the expert of my body, and I partnered with them. And so advocate for yourself, advocate for your story, and partner with people that will partner with you.
Yeah, that's a great point. I agree. Now, just to be clear, I think part of what you're suggesting is that people do some DNA research. There are services out there where you can have your DNA examined and you'll get very extensive information about your inclination to be prone to certain illnesses or not based on your DNA. Is that right?
Yes. There's many different tests you can take. There's a simple genetics test that you can ask your doctor at any moment. You can go for your regular checkup and be like, hey, I want a genetics test. And if it's a good doctor, they'll be like, okay, you know what I mean? They're not going to openly offer this test, but you got to educate yourself. And so it's a DNA. It's usually a third party lab. It's a saliva test on your DNA. And it's a comprehensive panel on all mutations that you carry. So it's not just like your ancestry or anything like that. It is, but it's really in-depth understanding about any propensity you have for illnesses, any mutations in your genes, not just for cancer, so different ones. In general, again, it's owning your story. We all carry all kinds of things that we really need to be aware of, not only just to be, you know, reactive, but most probably proactive, right? If we know we have this thing carried there that we can be ahead of it, why not get ahead of it? And so interesting, because I did ask one of my doctors I asked, why don't we offer this, you know, openly? Why don't we know about this? And she said, well, people are just scared to take it. And I was like, you're kidding. Like, why? Like, I wanted to know this. I was very curious. And I was like, there's no way that people are just scared to take it. By the way, the one that I am talking about, the genetic test, it's $125. It's not, you know what I mean? It's not thousands of dollars. Even if it was thousands of dollars, I'd probably take it just for my peace of mind. But okay, it's not cheap. If it's $125, it's too much for you. However, it's your health. When I told my family members about it, and I was like, you need to go get tested because you can carry this gene, they were scared. And I was like, wow. And so some of my family members, actually, I should say most of my family members have not yet gotten tested. Hmm. And it's that scared. It's, we're operating from fear. How can we be fulfilled if we operate from fear? We gotta move away from that.
Well, on that note, Miri, give us your closing thought on this entire conversation.
Yeah, you know, fulfillment is a very, sometimes it can be very idealistic for people, and people don't know how to look at it and go, I'm arriving, I've arrived, I'm getting there, I'm on my way there. Self-actualization, which is a synonym to fulfillment, it really is the highest level in the pyramid of hierarchy for the human experience. And we want to get there. We all want to get there. And that looks different for everybody. What's important is not what makes up, you know, the ingredients of that fulfillment or that self-actualization. What's important is that you have owned that process for yourself, and you have defined it for yourself, and you've prioritized it for yourself. And that takes time, that takes intention, that takes intuition. And I hope it doesn't take a life-changing experience for you. It did for me, but I hope it doesn't for you. I hope that you will come to the understanding that no one and nothing outside of you can empower your experience here on this journey on earth, and that you have it all in you to empower yourself to drive that experience for you. And at the end, when you look back, you know, we're talking about this midlife idea. Midlife is important because you're halfway there, right? You're looking, you're like, okay, I'm halfway there. I've arrived halfway. What that means is that we can be introspective, and we can take the wisdom that we've learned, the mistakes we've made, learn from those, not repeating cycles, but really enhancing ourselves through the cycles and hoping that the next half is better because we've learned the lessons. And so I hope you've learned the lessons.
Well, that's beautifully and well said, Miri. Thank you so much. And I just want to thank you for the inspiration that you're providing here in this podcast, but also in general, because I see it. I know many, 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 many people see it and are inspired by your story, your journey, your courage, your faith, what you're accomplishing towards humanity just by sharing your story. And I just want to thank you for that just from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you, Bernie. Good to see you.
Mary is the first guest on the Midlife Fulfilled podcast that has voiced something that I've been thinking about since the start of this podcast. Now, before I tell you what it is, I'll remind you that at the end of each episode, I say, if you're 80% fulfilled, you're doing great. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while and you listen to the end, you know you hear that from me. And you know, I've been criticized for saying this, but I don't care. Bring it on. Look, there's a reason that I say this, and Miri just told you that reason. Did you catch it? She revealed it in her closing thought. Surely you heard Miri validate my, if you're 80% fulfilled, you're doing great statement, right? Miri said that she equates fulfillment with self-actualization, which is at the top of the pyramid of the human experience. Think back to when you learned about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It's visually represented as a pyramid. Just like any pyramid, the bottom is the widest. The bottom layer is physiological needs. Air, water, food, shelter, sleep, clothing. Basic things we need just to live. The next layer up is safety needs, personal security, employment, resources, health, property. The third layer up, as the pyramid gets narrower and narrower, is love and belonging, friendship, intimacy, family, sense of connection. Then the fourth layer up, as it continues to get narrower and that pyramid, is esteem, respect, self-esteem, status, recognition, strength, freedom. And then finally, the tippy top, the narrowest part of that pyramid, is self-actualization. This is the desire to become the most that we can be. Think about it. As we go through life, we're often like on a roller coaster ride. The love and belonging and the esteem needs can fluctuate. We might go through career struggles, marriage struggles, other relationship struggles, or our self-esteem may fluctuate during midlife seasons. The point is that those third and fourth levels of needs can be the most challenging. We might experience good times as well as rough patches in those third and fourth levels of the hierarchy of needs. So to achieve self-actualization or total fulfillment means that everything else in each level of the pyramid is clicking on all cylinders. And usually, not always, but usually, very few of us experience completeness in that third and fourth level of the pyramid that sets the stage to reach that elusive self-actualization at the very top of the pyramid. This is why I say that if you're 80% fulfilled, you're doing great. Now, do you understand now why I say that? I mean, 80% fulfillment is a lot. It's a lot. Miri said that she hopes that it doesn't take a life-changing experience for you to realize your potential fulfillment, as it did for her. Miri dug deep in her soul to discover what brings her fulfillment, and maybe even more important, why she's fulfilled by the things that fulfill her. Her closing advice to you and to me is to learn from your past. Enable yourself to find what fulfills you, and then do that thing, because you're the only one who can find it and act on it. I want to thank Miri Rodriguez for her fearless approach to dealing with the challenges that she's faced. This battle has been hard for Miri, and I'm so thankful to her for her honesty. You know, we all see those beautiful life posts from our friends on social media, and Miri has posted plenty of those photos from her exotic global travel as a storyteller for Microsoft. She's also posted her raw emotions and fears during her battle with cancer. She even has posted very personal pictures. She's been very vulnerable, honest, and transparent. She did not sugarcoat her circumstances, and that takes courage. It's no surprise to me that she's received an outpouring of love from her community. We were watching her endure this very difficult time. Mary, thank you for sharing your authentic self with us on this episode. Thank you for helping to clarify the true meaning of fulfillment. I wish you Godspeed in your journey, and I'll always have your back. Hey, I invite you to visit the show notes page for the links to Mary's social media accounts and her website. Hey, don't go yet. I want to know, will I see you at the Creator Economy Expo? I want you to meet me and 500 other content creators at CEX 2023, May 1st through the 3rd in Cleveland, Ohio. CEX is the event for education and networking if you create content and want to build or grow your business based on content. Visit my affiliate link in the show notes page to learn more about CEX and save $100 when you register using the code MIDLIFEFULFILLED. Next week's guest is Laura Putnam. My conversation with Laura began as a BF to AF story about how being in motion all her life as a gymnast, teacher, and dancer led her to workplace wellness training. But as our conversation evolved, it morphed into a midlife maximum episode since Laura is an expert in wellness training in the workplace. That's her business. Tune into episode 54 to hear Laura's BF to AF story in a hybrid midlife maximum episode. This is Bernie Borges, your host of the Midlife Fulfilled podcast. If you're still with me, I am honored. And remember, you know that if you're 80% fulfilled, you're doing great. I'll see you on episode 54.